How's everybody? So good to be with you this morning. I wanted, before we started, to mention that today is Pastor Jack Graham's 32nd anniversary as a pastor of Prestonwood. And so I want to give God a round and a praise for Pastor Graham as they celebrate his 32nd anniversary. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And hold your place there, please. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be talking about being salt and light in our generation. When you get to Matthew 5 and you hold it there, say amen. Amen. Good. So, since I've been home from Washington, D.C. Full-time, I've gotten a lot of questions and inquiries about, hey, what exactly was your job at the White House? What did you do in service to our country? And so I wanted to relate Matthew chapter 5 when Jesus was talking to the disciples about being salt and light and kind of give a recap and a description, if you would, of what my job and service was for the last 2 years with the previous administration. So from April the 4th of 2019 until January 20th of 2021, I served as the executive director of the White House Opportunity and Revitalization Council. And yes, that is a word, a mouthful, White House Opportunity and Revitalization Council. For short, it's WORC, W-H-O-R-C. And the main purpose of this council was to take the Opportunity Zone initiative and go into the forgotten communities of America and convene, or if you will, gather stakeholders, people together, business leaders, elected officials, entrepreneurs, developers, community leaders, faith leaders, education leaders, all coming together at the same table and at the same time. And I want you to picture in your mind all of these stakeholders at the same table, the governors and the mayors and the congressmen, with the community leaders, with the faith leaders, with the education leaders, to come together to talk about and have the hard conversation. What is the pain of the community? What are the needs of the community? And then to come up with a strategy for long-term sustainability by job creation, new business development, new business ownership, new housing, etc. And the ultimate goal was for generational impact in the community. The spirit of this council and the spirit of this law was community impact as well as economic development. And before the pandemic hit and shut down all travel, church, I had traveled to over 70 cities in just 10 months, from tip to tip in our nation, urban, tribal, and rural cities, bringing the message of opportunity and revitalization to areas that had been down and forgotten, areas that had not seen any investment of any kind for decades. And many of these communities were food deserts. They were health deserts. They are health deserts. They have high poverty rates, high crime rates, low median income, transportation issues, low education opportunity and attainment. And at the time that I was appointed by the president, 35 million people lived in poverty in opportunity zones alone. So these communities are those that are in need of desperate revitalization and transformation. And that word revitalize right there, revitalize means to imbue with new life. It means to reinvigorate or re-energize. And that was my task. That was the assignment that I had, to be an ambassador, if you will, for this initiative, carrying the message of new life and hope to the communities and the people. In essence, being the hands and the feet of Christ, salt and light, in the communities of America. And I learned one thing. Poverty doesn't have a color. Poverty doesn't care what you look like. It doesn't care where you come from. Poverty doesn't have a political party. It's not red, it's not blue, it's not black, it's not white. Poverty affects all of us either directly or indirectly. And oftentimes people say, well, how did you do this? How did you carry such a heavy burden and then travel on top of that? Being away from the church, being away from your family. Well, the Bible says that God's grace is sufficient for us. Amen? And his grace was with me every step of the way. And it took a tremendous focus on the mission. And my number one mission, our number one mission was to wage war on poverty. and do whatever my team and I could do to lift people up, to help them fulfill their God-given potential. It was a heavy task. It was a humbling task, but God multiplied the work of our hands and he blessed it, and I thank him to this day. Now, as we continue, as I continue in this next season of life, I believe that God is calling me not only to focus on the transformation of the communities of America, but to even more so focus on the revitalization of the soul of this country by way of his word, by speaking and teaching and preaching the word of Jesus Christ, the gospel message of Jesus. And so as I look out this morning and we talk about our country and bringing new life to the soul of the people of this nation, first things first, and the question arises, do you personally know Jesus for yourself? Is Jesus Christ, everyone under the sound of my voice, is he the Lord and the Savior of your life? John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God gave his Son as a gift that we shall repent, turn away, believe, and have eternal life in him. Is he Lord and is he Savior of your life? See, I said before, poverty doesn't discriminate. It affects all of us in one way or another. Well, even more so is the word of God. God's word is the ultimate revitalization, and it is the only true source of new life. And I believe that this message of revitalization starts right here in the Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Spirit-filled churches of America, and in the heart of every man, every woman, and every child. Whether you're black or white, red or brown, rich or poor, or somewhere in the middle, whether you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ or you have not yet surrendered your heart to him, God's word is true, God's word is right, and God's word, it is life. John 1:1 says this, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, training, correcting, and in righteousness for the man of God to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Make no mistake, we have a lot of work to do. But I believe in order for us to do what God is calling us to do in this season, you and I, in our generation, it's going to take a refocusing, a recalibration, a resetting, if you will, a tremendous commitment and focus on the mission ahead. Is everybody with me? A refocus, a recommitment, a recalibration, and a resetting on the mission that God has set ahead for us. Now, us as believers, us as children of God, and really just people in general, we have to cut out all of the noise and all of the chatter and stop running out the things that are fleeting and destructive and dangerous. Cut out all the unnecessary influence, things, and people. Y'all are real quiet this morning. I'm going to preach it anyway. Cut out all of the unnecessary influences, things, and people. Those things that are dangerous and destructive so that we cannot be distracted from spending quality time with God and hearing clearly from him. See, back in the day, the old folks used to say, get somewhere and sit down. Y'all ever heard anybody say that before? Get somewhere and sit down before God and listen, because he's speaking. Are you hearing him in your life today? Cut out all the unnecessary noise and chatter and listen to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he is speaking. And in order for us to have this commitment and this focus and be dedicated, we have to be committed to the cause of Christ, winning people to him, sharing the gospel. We have to be focused and committed on the call of God on our lives. You don't have to be a preacher to have a calling. You just have to be living and willing and available for God to call you, whether you're a teacher, a preacher, right? Whether you're a prayer warrior, an intercessor, an evangelist, whatever it is, God is calling you to something in your life in this hour. And I believe collectively that God is calling all of us to be salt and light in our generation. Amen? To be vessels of honor and righteousness. To be conduits of faith, justice, and godly humility. Speaking the truth in love. This is a time of deep darkness and deception, to speak the truth of God's word, to be catalysts, if you will, for those that are down and weary and heavy laden and need to be lifted up, much like the Opportunity Zone Council, to bring a message of new life and revitalization and reinvigoration to those that are around you, to lift those up that are weary and heavy laden. Anybody know anybody like that that could lead a word from the Lord? God is calling us to be salt and light in our generation. That's what we are to be. Consider our gathering here this morning. All of us in the church house, together for a purpose, a symbol, to honor God and to worship Him, to preach the gospel, to introduce people to Jesus, to sing praises to His name, to fellowship with one another, to pray for each other, and to prepare ourselves and gird ourselves up to be salt and light in our culture today. We are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have a heart and a vision to effectuate change and to set the tone in your sphere of influence and in your surroundings. God is calling you and me to set the tone in your surroundings and your sphere of influence by way of your principles and your convictions, by way of the principles of God's word and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You set the tone in your atmosphere. You set the tone in your surroundings as a man of God, as a woman of God, as a child of God. They don't set the tone who are not believers. We set the tone. Are y'all with me? We set the tone in our surroundings. Be not conformed to the ways of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to the ways of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You set the tone of your surroundings and your sphere of influence to the glory of God. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, or go back to your place. I want to give you a little context here. Previously, Jesus in chapter 4, he had called his disciples to be fishers of men. He had ministered to the multitudes throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching and proclaiming the gospel and the kingdom of God. The Bible says he went about healing every affliction and every disease, delivering people from demonic oppression. See, Jesus' fame at this time now, it was spreading far and wide. And the Bible says throughout the region, large crowds would come together and they would follow him. And it says that seeing the crowds, Jesus went up to the mountain. I love the imagery. Jesus, seeing all the crowds, the people whom he had healed, the diseases he had healed, the afflictions he had lifted, the demonic oppression he had set free, and now they're following him, and he says, I must go be with my Father, and he went up to the mountain. In Matthew chapter 5, that's where you see he preached the Sermon on the Mount as his disciples came to sit with him. Look at verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He did not say you will be or you can be or you getting ready to be. He said you are. Somebody say are. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He was calling his disciples. They were weary. They were tired. They said, we're only few in number. And he said, blessed is a poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. He was encouraging them because he knew, hey, a time is going to come. This is a heavy trial. But then he said, you are the salt of the earth in spite of. You are the light of the world. You are. He was decreeing and declaring who you are. We, as people of God, are the salt of the earth and the light of the world to impact our culture today. And since ancient times, salt has been very valuable. It's a natural preservative. The Greeks thought salt almost had a divine nature to it. The Romans used to pay their soldiers with salt. And then they said, well, man, this guy didn't do his job. So they said, he's not worth his salt. That's where that came from. When a Roman soldier fell down on his job, he said he's not worth his salt. Don't pay him. But mostly salt is used to preserve meat and fish. And I thought this was very interesting. Salt helps to halt the growth of bacteria. It halts the growth of bacteria and keeps food fresh for a longer period of time. If we are the salt of the earth, can we halt the rampant growth and running away of sin in our culture with those that are around us? If we're the salt of the earth, can we halt dangerous activity and behavior for those that are in our sphere of influence? Not that we can stop them, not that we can keep them, but it says salt halts the growth of bacteria. It stymies the growth. If you are being salt of the earth and the light of the world and those that are around you, man, they may begin to change the way they think, change the way they act, change the way they... Are y'all with me? You are the salt of the earth. I read a note from the Theology of Work Project, and they said this. You are a seasoning agent. In a sense, you can bring a distinctive flavor of God's value to all of life. You're a seasoning agent. You can bring distinctive flavor of God's values to all of life. And I wondered this morning, how many of us in here are really salty? Do you still have your saltiness? Are you a seasoning agent for the Lord Jesus Christ? See, salt can only impact what it touches or what it comes in contact with. You have to be intentional about being salty. One of our church members, Ron Greer, he always smiling and laughing and involved. He told me, he said, Scotty, sometimes I'll go out in the front driveway because I know the time that the people, the neighbors, are walking in their families. He said, so I'll just choose to mow the yard at that particular time. I'll just choose to water the lawn at that particular time that I know everybody in the neighborhood is just going to be walking by. Hey, how you doing? He's intentional. Are we intentional? Students, are you intentional? For those that are around you, whether or not it's popular or not, is it right? Have you lost your saltiness? Are you still salty? Who are we impacting today? Who are we touching for God's glory today? Are we seasoning agents? Are we bringing a distinct flavor of God's value to all of life? God's value to all of life. This term value intrigues me. Value means the regard that something is held to deserve, the importance, worth, or usefulness of something. Value. So the question this morning is, since we are called to be the salt of the earth, do we as followers of Christ truly believe that Christian values and Christian people bring worth and importance to our society today? If Jesus is calling us to be salt and light, do we believe that we bring worth and value to our society? Are Christian values and principles useful in our culture today? Do we as believers and advocates for such principles like love and faithfulness and mercy and integrity and humility and sanctification and propitiation and justification and righteousness and godliness, do we bring value? Do we bring usefulness? Do we bring advantage and benefit to our culture today? And some people say, well, Scott, you know what? Those words and principles are old school. They're obsolete and archaic. No one speaks like that today. They can't even be applied to today's lingo or language. And whoever believes like this, whoever speaks like this, whoever advocates for principles like this are one and the same, a foregone conclusion. That's what they say. But I say the contrary. These principles are not obsolete. Number one, they come from God's word. Heaven and earth may pass away, but God's word will live forever. So they are not archaic. They are not trendy. Yes, they're old school, but I kind of like old school. How about you? I think we need to go back to some of the old school principles around here, but that's for another sermon. They transcend generation. They transcend culture, ethnicity, color, tongue, and creed. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we absolutely bring worth and usefulness and, yes, salt and light to our culture today. Are you in agreement? Yes, we do. But we have to break the strongholds of lethargy and apathy and fear. Benjamin Franklin, and I like to study history, Benjamin Franklin, he was one of the least orthodox of all of the founding fathers, but he recognized the power of God's word and the principles of the Bible. He said this, "He who shall introduce into public affairs the principles of primitive Christianity shall change the face of the world." He who shall introduce into public affairs the principles of primitive Christianity shall change the face of the world. I say the world is due for a facelift today. This is a critical time in our generation. We don't have time to be complacent. We don't have time to settle for the status quo. We don't have time just to be comfortable or be confused. God's word is clear. You're the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. The question is, are we willing? Do we have the fortitude to step up and to step out? Look at what surrounds you today here in America and abroad. We have people that are living without a relationship with Christ all around us. There's tremendous poverty, both economic poverty and spiritual poverty. There's tremendous breakdown in the family unit. There's a threat on our churches, our religious liberties. There's suicides and murders. There's addictions. There's divorce. People living in constant fear and anxiety. Sin is running rampant. Depravity of moral goodness. How about you? And we can go on and on. Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to step out and be salt and light to live these Christian values? Whether you're a student, whether you're a parent, whatever you do, are you willing to live these values and be a seasoning agent of God's value in all of life? Salt and light. It's a simple question. And we all must ring the bell and answer the question today. Not just amongst each other, though. Not just being salt and light amongst like-minded people. Not just where it's easy or comfortable. But wherever God has called you, whomever he has placed around you, are you willing to be salt and light? Not out of arrogance. Not out of mean behavior or forceful attitudes, but in love and compassion for those that are around you. Romans 8:19 says, "For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God." Anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the Son of God. All of creation is longing for God to make all things right. But for this time in history, God is calling and challenging each of us, children of God, to be salt and light in our generation, to be the hands and the feet of Christ. In spite of all of the bright and shiny projections that we see on Instagram, Facebook, and other social media medians, Pop culture says one thing, but I say this. Our society is hurting. Our society is struggling. That is the real truth, crying out for the true sons of God to be revealed. Men and women such as you that are willing to be bold and courageous, standing up for truth, even if you have to stand all alone. But I will remind you of something. You plus God is a majority. You're never alone. But are you willing to stand to let your light shine before men in such a way that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven? That's what our text said. You can't hide a light. You can't hide a light on a hill. Are you willing to let your light shine and let your good works be seen? The way you respond to your children, the way you respond and speak to your spouse, the way you love on a stranger, the way you hold your tongue when somebody make you mad. Your good works. The way you say no to the enemy and yes to God. What you do in private, are you doing it in public? Your good works may be the only thing that people see to bring them to Jesus and glorify your Father in heaven. I'm reminded of a time. Well, there was a lot of times when I was in the NFL. I played 9 years in the NFL. But this one particular time rings in my mind. There's 53 men in the locker room. 53 active and 5 practice squad. That's what it was back in the dark ages when I played. All of us had different backgrounds and histories and talents, gifts. But we all face similar temptations. We all face the intense pressure to perform on a day-to-day basis in order to keep our jobs on the team. Playing in the NFL is a day-to-day thing. I know you see all those big contracts, but it's day-to-day, day by day by day. Matter of fact, the NFL stands for not for long. The average career is 3.5 years. I thank God that he gave me 9. But 1 year in particular, I was playing for the San Diego Chargers. Well, now they're the Los Angeles Chargers. But back then, they were San Diego Chargers. And we had a tremendous defensive unit, number one in a lot of areas. But our offense struggled. We had a rookie quarterback that was leading the way. We ended up with a record that year of 1-15. That's 1 win and 15 losses. You can imagine the frustration and the brokenness that we felt week in and week out. We worked so hard on the field, in the film room, in the weight room, in the training room, and yet to find ourselves on the short end of the win-loss column week after week after week, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. We lost 12 games straight. How many know we were frustrated? We were broken, and selfishness started to come in. People started to blame one another and point the finger. Anxiety and discouragement tried to rear its ugly head. The media, well, they did, you know, what they do. But through all of this, the one thing that remained constant and that kept us strong was the fellowship of the believers. We would gather at our home, mine and my wife's home, every week for Bible study, for prayer, for fellowship, for laying on of hands, and we would get girded up. And we would go back into the locker room because that was our sphere of influence. That was our place where God had called us to be. That was our harvest. And we would encourage our teammates, encourage our coaches in the midst of the storm. So when lethargy came in, when anxiety came in, when fear came in, we would be reminded of God's word. When temptation on the players began to be so heavy, we would be reminded of God's word where he called us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We are the head and not the tail, above only and never beneath. We said Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Are y'all following me? This all is out of God's word. We would encourage each other that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, that with man it may be impossible, but with God all things are possible. Y'all, all I'm doing is speaking the word of God in the midst of the storm, and God moved. Our record was terrible. We were 1-15, but we We saw people come to know Jesus. We saw families reconciled. We saw kids baptized in the Pacific Ocean. We saw relationships come back together. We saw cultures get saved. God can do miracles in the midst of mayhem. Amen. How many need God to be a miracle for you today? God is Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. He's El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. He's God our banner, God our miracle, and God our standard. That's who he is. And he said, I'm that, but I'm calling you to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Are you willing today? Whatever stage you're in your life, you have been called by God. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are uniquely positioned and qualified by him to be salt and light. Will you answer the call today? Salt and light, that's what we are to be. Amen. Salt and light. Seasoning agents for Jesus Christ and our culture today. Well, let's give God an amen. And let's stand together. We've come to our invitation. If you're here this morning and you say, well, Pastor Scott, I want to be salt and light, but I don't know Jesus for myself. For all of us that are in the room today, in order for us to be salt and light, we have to have a proper relationship with Jesus Christ. He has to be Lord. He has to be Savior. To turn away from our sin, to repent and accept him as Lord of our life. He has to be that. You got to spend time with God in his word. Lay down all worldly things and lay before God and listen to him. If you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of God's favor. Look around. This is your family. We're here for you. Jesus is calling. Do you know him? We'll come in the aisle and get you and walk you down to the front. The ministers are going to be in the front to pray with you. Maybe say, well, I'm saved, but I need to get my life right with God. Well, you can come too. We can pray for you. You want to recommit your life to God. Today is your day. Creation's longing for people of God to step up and to step out and be salt and light. If you're not a part of the army of salvation, what are you doing today? Maybe you want to be baptized in believer's baptism. You come. Maybe you want to join the church. You believe God is calling you in this hour to join this church family. We welcome you. Maybe you just want to pray where the altar is open. Whatever it is that God is calling you today, we are here for you. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you for these your children. God, we pray today that you would take away every hindrance that would keep those from coming forward. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've called us to be salt and light in our generation. But Father, we know first things first, we must know you as our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you will call those this morning. Lord Jesus, that there be nothing holding them back. And Lord, if we as a church family, we stand together. Father God, we bind the enemy. Lord, we bind the enemy, Father, from distracting any of us in this church building today. And Lord, I pray that your presence would be ever so powerful. Lord, that you would move on the hearts of every man, every woman, and every child. In Jesus' name, everybody say it. Amen.